Welcome to Pastor Bill's classroom. We are in lesson 18 of our study in the book of Romans chapter 3, entitled, God's Mirror.
Hello and welcome back to our midweek study, studying through the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3, we were last time, we left off in verse 12. We're going to be picking up again, and actually we went through verse 13, I believe, but we're going to pick it up here in 13. We go all the way down through verse 24, Romans chapter 3. So we'll get to that in just a bit. We'll look at that, and we're going to be interjecting some things here in between. But hope everything's going great for you. I pray that they are. I pray that your eyes and heart will be open to the things of God. God is speaking, but are we listening? Do we have a heart? Do we really want to hear what he has to say? Or we just want to hear what we want to hear? And that's an important question, actually. We need to ask ourselves every day. So let's make sure we align ourselves with him, and then we'll get ready to hear what he has for us. Heavenly Father, we trust you. Only you know the truth, and we can't know the truth until we connect with you, and so that's what we're here to do. And we live in a world that's full of lies and lies upon lies, and we lie to ourselves. Our sinful hearts lie to us. God, we pray you deliver us from all these things. Deliver us over to the truth that we could hear you, God, submit ourselves to you, obey you, be better as a result of all of it, and the world around us can be better as we interact with it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Romans chapter 3, we're going to be there. Last time we were together, we looked at God's perspective on sin. Again, God has perspective. We only have opinions. Every time our opinion disagrees in any way with God's perspective, which alone is the truth, then our opinion is a mirage, a fairy tale, an illusion. So here we are in chapter 3 of Romans, and let's hear again God's perspective on what sin has done to us. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, not even one. Well, I thought someone was. Well, that's where we're wrong, you see. That's what sin does to you. It just makes you more sinful, part of which is you're unable to see what's wrong with you. So God gives us perspective. There is none who understands, none. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep on deceiving. Again, you don't feel this way about yourself. Well, that's where you're wrong. We're all wrong. Certain level, we're wrong about ourselves. We don't have the correct perspective. God has perspective. It doesn't have to feel right to you. It just has to be right. Whatever God says, that's the way it is. And I won't fight with it. And we can just get to that place. So much better for us. Poison of asp is under their lips. That's us. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their path. And the path of peace have they not known. Wow, what a descriptive. What a way to see ourselves. And it's the only way to see ourselves. And then he brings us to the worst part of it. Sin has made us so foolish that it tells us here in verse 13, there is no, or verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. The dumbest place, if you will, that the creation could possibly be is to not fear the one who created it. It's impossible to be dumber than that. That's the lowest spot. All these things, yeah. No one understands. No one seeks for God. There's no one's good. There's not even one. Their mouth is an open grave. Their feet are swift to shed blood, et cetera, et cetera. These are all bad things, but the worst thing, the dumbest thing, the worst result of sin is that we have no fear of the one who created us. No fear of God? That is crazy. It really is, and that's what sin has done to us. It's a downward progression. And again, we keep referring to chapter 1 of Romans. It's going to be on the screen there for you. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 22, and then 28. But this is everything. Paul establishes what he's going to say in the whole book of Romans in the first chapter. And then he elaborates on that. Here's his elaboration. So all these things have happened to us. The sin has turned us into this, but it's something that he's already said would happen. Because we turn away from the knowledge of God. Even though they knew God, verse 21, Romans 1, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their reasonings. A futility. just circular and not logical and missing the point and not seeing the data and not understanding it and then not knowing that we're off. And their senseless heart was darkened. So, without the light you can't see. Bad place. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Nothing worse than to be a fool but be convinced that you're not. That's the worst place. Again, no fear of God. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, which among the worst of the things is have no fear of God. So it's the most stupid place we could possibly be. The Bible refers to us as sheep, and sheep are just like this. They can be standing right next to a precipice, to a cliff, in danger of, imminent danger of losing their lives and have no sense whatsoever that they're in danger. They're so dumb, sheep are. They're so thick up here that even in the face of grave danger, they feel nothing. I'm fine. We're just like sheep. But then again, we're not like sheep because sheep are dumb, but they're not as dumb as we are. Because on the other hand, a sheep is not a sinner. They're not in rebellion against the sovereign of the universe. How dumb can you possibly be? That's us. They know exactly who their creator is. They have no dispute with that whatsoever. They just are not aware of the physical world. They have no problem with the real world. We're maybe aware of the physical world. We have huge problems with the spiritual world, the actual reality that's going on out there. We're worse than that. Our senses are so dulled by sin that we cannot see how close to the edge we really are, how close to total eternal destruction that we are. We're right up against it. Every day, not promised another day. The world isn't. And yet they have no intrinsic fear of who they are and what they've done and the opposition that is there and their enmity against God. They don't feel it. That's what sin has done to us. But God has graciously provided us a tool to help open our eyes so that we can see who we are. And that begins to be explained here in verse 19, again, chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, he's talking about specifically the Ten Commandments. We know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, which is everybody. This is God's universe. It doesn't matter whatever law we think should work, whatever law you think or I think should work. The fact is we're under the sovereign, and the sovereign says these are the laws. Whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law that every mouth may be closed. One of the conditions of our ignorance, our foolishness, our stupidity that sin has led us to, the depravity of our minds, is that the worse we get, the bigger our mouths get. The worse we get, the more we boast of how awesome we are. Look how great we are. Again, we're coming off of Pride Month. Here we are, everybody marching to prove how sinful they are. That's what happens. The further you get from God, the bigger your mouth gets. Notice that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. God has graciously provided us information that shows us we're not near as good as we thought we were. Shuts the proud mouth. Let me back up for a second back to talking about sheep. What color is a sheep? I know color, sheep can be any color, and all kind of different varieties of sheep. But if you're drawing a picture of a sheep, and you want anybody passing by to know that that is a sheep, what color do you make that sheep? White, right? I mean, it's universal understood that sheep are white. I know they're all different kind of colors, but typically we understand, it doesn't matter where you go, that sheep are actually white. But are they white? Are they really white? I mean, compared to everything else, anything dark, yeah, they appear a green background, a brown background, a dark background. Sheep appear to be white, but are they really? Well, easy to find that out. Put them in a field and let the snow fall around them, which is white. And then guess what you find out? If you're familiar with it, sheep are not white. They're some level of dingy yellow. They're kind of a nasty color. They're not anything. They're kind of in between a brown and a and a yellow and a white and mixed with all different kinds of ugly colors. And maybe if you bleached them, they would be white. But as they are typically a sheep, sheep are definitely not living out in the wild. They definitely aren't. And that's what the human race is. Our perspective on ourselves is that we're white. We're perfect. We're good. I'm fine compared to everybody else. And yeah, maybe against the backdrop of something darker, maybe you appear to be that way. Against the backdrop of the way the world typically thinks, maybe you're better morally or experientially or whatever. But are you really white? Are you really clean? No. What we need is the snow to fall, don't we? That's what God has done for us. God has provided a white backdrop. It's called His law. Here's what righteousness really is. Now, put yourself against that. Guess what we find? Yeah, dingy is not even the right word, is it? We're dirty. We're filthy. We're nasty. God has graciously, through a gracious act of God, He has provided a system by which we can know how bad off we really are. It is the law. The result of the law is, number one, we realize that we're accountable to God, it says there in verse 19, and it shuts our proud mouths. Before this, look how great I am. I'm not a sinner. Oh, there are sinners, but I'm not one of them. I don't need forgiveness. I don't need a Savior. God's going to let me into heaven because I've been a good person. Oh, yeah? Have you read the law? Have you seen it? Have you taken what you think is white and compared it to the actual whiteness of the righteousness of God? The law, if you will, is a mirror. Shows us what we're really like. Look at verse 20. Because by the works of the law, no flesh would be justified in His sight. It's not keeping the law that makes me better, because the law has a different function. It doesn't help me get better. It just shows me how bad I am. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Law is not there for me to follow it necessarily. It's there to tell me that I haven't followed it, that I haven't kept it, that because of the law, I'm condemned. It's not the place where I go to clean myself up. It's the place where I find out how dirty I really am. I mean, what is a mirror? You think about the law as a mirror. What do you do with a mirror? Well, a mirror is to find out what you really look like. So I think my hair is fine. I think my clothes are fine. I think if I'm a lady, my makeup is fine. I think I don't have dirt on my face because I can't see myself, you see. And so the final test of that is not what I think about myself, and that's where the world is. We think the final test is, well, you think you're fine, and I think I'm fine. Well, collectively, we think we're fine. We win. The vote is that we're totally fine, but God has given us a mirror to look into. And that mirror is His law. And when we look into the law, we find out what we're really like. So we come to a physical mirror, and we think we're fine, but we find out, oh, my hair doesn't look that good. Oh, I got bags underneath my eyes. Oh, I got dirt on my face. Oh, something needs to change. Now, I would not know that had I not looked in the mirror. I can live in oblivion of thinking how awesome I look, and everybody's staring at me, and I can't figure out why. It must be because they haven't seen anybody better looking than this ever in their life or something. You know, the proudness of us all. You know, we can remain proud as long as we don't know the truth. The purpose of the mirror is to tell me the truth. The purpose of the mirror is to show me where I'm messed up. Show me where I'm dirty. But if I see when I look in the mirror dirt on my face, I would never think to go to the mirror to clean up the dirt. The mirror doesn't help me fix myself. It just helps me see myself. The mirror sends me to the soap and water. But that's the argument that's being made here in verse 20. The mirror, God's law, is not meant to clean you. Just meant to show you how dirty you are. Just meant to show you how unrighteous you actually thought you were righteous. But actually you found out that you're not. You don't use the mirror to clean yourself up. We look in the mirror of God's law, find out we're dirty. We don't use the mirror. We don't use the law. That's foolish. The mirror sends us to the water. Sends us to wash. Sends us to the place of truth. God's mirror tells us, number one, that we aren't righteous. Number two, that righteousness is the only thing that God will accept. So God is righteous. God demands righteousness. But the good news is God provides righteousness. Keep keep reading here, verse 21 through verse 24. But now, notice, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. You can't get righteousness through the law unless you're perfect. If you're not perfect, all the law does is point it out. Now, you're not righteous. Sorry, I can't help you past that. I can't do anything for you. Can't undo unrighteousness. It is what it is. The law, though, is gracious, is a gracious act of God that points out our unrighteousness. So apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law tells us you're messed up. The law and prophets says God knows you're messed up, but he's going to fix it. Even, and then comes the new law, if you will, the new covenant. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, there is no distinction. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how dirty you are. Doesn't matter how great you thought you were, how awesome you thought you were. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glorified, and likewise all being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All are unrighteous. The law reveals that. Everyone is. No one is. Everybody has fallen short. And everyone has the opportunity. God is righteous. God demands righteousness. God provides righteousness. Everyone has the opportunity to receive God's righteousness as a gift, it says. What do I need to do to receive a gift? Just say, okay, I accept. That's what it means to receive God's righteousness. I accept the fact that I'm a sinner and I can't fix myself. I accept the fact that you demand righteousness, and I accept the righteousness that you provide. Come through your son Jesus. It's so simple. It's such good news. I can't understand why people don't want this. But again, their proud hearts have a hard time saying, oh, I'm not messed up. I'm just fine. They need to hear from the law. The gospel begins with the law. It doesn't begin with God loves you. It begins with God will throw a person like you in hell. And here's the reasons why. Until the heart has been plowed, if you will, with the plow of God's law, turned the soil, the seed of the truth of his gospel will never sprout. Until they're receptive and saying, I need to be rescued, they won't hear anything about a Savior. You can tell them all you want to about a Savior. They won't listen. They have to know that they're sunk. That's what the law does for them. Most religions have no problem with God being righteous. But most leave the boat, leave the tracks where it comes to us needing to produce righteousness. They say, oh, well, we've broken God's laws, but we can fix that. All we need to do is just make sure that we have more good deeds than bad deeds, and there's no logic in that at all. Again, we have been made stupid because of our sin. No actual logic in that. So you're a lawbreaker, but somehow keeping the law from now on is going to undo the law that you broke? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. You're not going to undo. You're an eternal criminal. Because you've broken eternal laws of the eternal one, and all that is left for you is eternal punishment. That's why hell's forever. So it requires the eternal one to intervene on your behalf. And in fact, he's done that. He's provided righteousness for everyone who's willing to have it, everyone who will believe in him. He knows what the mirror shows us. He also knows that we can't save ourselves. He knows this stuff. That's why he's given it to us. The mirror can only show us what's wrong. Can't make us right, though. Can't fix us. So God provides the mirror. He also provides the soap and water. The mirror tells you you need forgiveness. The mirror tells you you're not perfect. The mirror tells you you have no way to make it to heaven. And the soap and water tells you, but God will provide that righteousness, but it only comes through his son. You can't achieve it for yourself. You'll never be able to say anything for yourself because the mirror demands our death. It does. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then watch this. Here's chapter 6, verse 23 on your screen there. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And for the wages of sin, that same sin, is death. Not 6 feet under. Eternal death. Separation from God. But the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death is a penalty that must be paid. And someone will pay for your sins. The gracious gift of God is that we get to decide who does that. You can pay for your own sins. That is an option. option one. Option two, in God's preference, is that Jesus pays for your sins. In fact, he's already provided. It's not a matter of him coming and dying for you. He's already done it. But now he offers you the gift that has been provided and purchased by him on the cross through his resurrection, proving that he's the Savior. It's just required of you, as it is true for all gifts, as it says there, the gracious gift of God, is just to simply say, I accept. Will you accept? Have you accepted God's gracious gift? Not enough to know that Jesus is the Savior. The devil knows that. You have to accept him as your personal. That's why we say he has to be your personal Savior. Personally, you said to God, I accept. Personally, you said to God, I need forgiveness. I need your righteousness. I can't produce it. But we have to trust him, as it says in verse 22, for those who place their faith in him. It's a gift, like any other gift. And so it ultimately requires us to accept. So what we could not produce, God provided. What we could not do, God did for us, including telling us that we're messed up. He sees what sin has done to us. He knew what it would happen to us. And so he provided the mirror for us to look in. We have to show the world the mirror. They have to see it. We have to see it in ourselves first. And we properly fear the one who we see that now our eyes are open. We're on the edge of a precipice. And only God can rescue us from that. The world has to see that. It starts with us. I ask you, if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we pray together. God, we thank you for revealing your truth to us. We were lost in sin, lost in the lies that sin had lied to us, lost in our involved and completely in ourselves and not able to even look outside of ourselves. And we compare ourselves to sheep like your word does. But sheep aren't as dumb as we are. They know their creator. They're not in rebellion against you, Lord. But we are, and you so graciously provided a way that we can become smart, that our eyes can be opened through your law. We can see that we're not white. We're some dingy, nasty color that sin has created us to be. But you provided the means by which we can become clean. And it's not the mirror, it's not the law. No, it's the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's the sacrifice that he has made, taking our place, paying for our sins so that we don't have to pay for them ourselves. What we couldn't do, you did for us. What we couldn't provide, you provided for us. God, we thank you for that great assurance. Thank you for this word that teaches us these things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptistchurch.org.